Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You think you got the best of me? Think you've had the last laugh? Bet you think that everything good is gone? Think you left me broken down? Think that I'll come running back? Maybe you don't know me cause you're dead wrong. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little.
So this is a big, big day, a beautiful day, potentially one of the great days ever in civilization. Things that have been going on for hundreds of years and thousands of years, we're going to, at least we're at a minimum, very, very close, and I think we're beyond very close.
From Jerusalem to Tehran, from the Golan Heights to Gaza, you've proven time and again what I've said many times. You are the greatest friend that Israel has ever had in the White House. And Mr. President, you and I both know it's not even close.
Yeah, I agree with Benjamin Netanyahu. I don't think anybody as a president can claim to have been more an advocate for Israel or more, you know, useful to Israel than President Trump, whether it's the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital, which is amazing, or the Abraham Accords, working with the Arab nations, moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and just all the things. He's definitely been great for Israel. And now, of course, you've had this war since the October 6th attack, and it's, going on just 2 years? 2 years, right? Almost. I had to think whether it's 2 years or 3 years. 3 years for Ukraine and Russia, right? 3.5 years now, I think. It's easy to lose track over time. But, and the war against Hamas in the Gaza Strip, which I don't mean to engage again in the geography lesson, but in case you don't know, you don't know. If you hold up your left hand in front of you, do it with me now while you're driving. Okay. Your thumb is the Jordan River, and the West Bank is the big area to the left of your thumb, like kind of below your first and second knuckle and down to your wrist. That's the West Bank. Top right index fingers like Golan Heights. So you're talking like Syria and Lebanon are up there. Jordan is everything on the right side of your hand, the space. Where your wrist bone is like where the Suez Canal, that's like Egypt. And then just above that is the Gaza Strip. And then kind of right in the middle is Jerusalem. But it's not in the middle of actual Israel because Israel is shaped like a sea and it's kind of on the border between, it's in Israel, but it's on the border between Israel and the West Bank. Anyway, okay, so now we got geography over with. Just for people who don't know, if you don't know, you don't know. That's all there is to it, and it's good to know. So they're talking about creating a ceasefire in Gaza. That would be step one. Step two would be they'd have to return every single one of the hostages and all the remains, so you'd have to have proof that nobody has been kept within 72 hours. And three, Hamas has to lay down all its weapons and completely demilitarize.
Under the plan, Arab and Muslim countries have committed, and in writing in many cases, but I actually would take their word for it, the people I mentioned, I take their word for it, to demilitarize Gaza, and that's quickly. Decommission the military capabilities of Hamas and all other terror organizations. Do that immediately. And we're relying on the countries that I named and others to deal with Hamas.
Yeah, so he's counting on the Arabs to help enforce against Hamas. They can leave, apparently, if they want to. I don't know whether they will. I don't know whether they will agree with this. This is a pretty big gamble, but it's something. It's an opportunity. Whether Hamas will agree or not is unclear. There's going to be a board of peace, is what it's being called. That's going to be led by, you know, member states, lots of people involved, and then it's going to be the interim government when Hamas agrees to step down and no longer run the area. And Trump is going to be the head of that board, and it's going to transition eventually over into something else. The something else is sort of to be decided, but it will not be Hamas, and it will not be the Palestinian Authority. So this is not a two-state solution, including Gaza. This would be, maybe theoretically a three-state solution because you'd have Israel, you know, the West Bank governed by the PA, and then you'd have Gaza governed by whatever Gaza winds up being governed by. But Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House yesterday saying this is a pretty big deal.
I support your plan to end the war in Gaza, which achieves our war aims. It will bring back to Israel all our hostages dismantle Hamas's military capabilities, end its political rule, and ensure that Gaza never again poses a threat to Israel.
Yeah, which is a fair trade. I mean, I think you could have a very good conversation about whether the war in Gaza was a proportional, or has been over time, a proportional response to what happened in the attack. And I think any reasonable person would have to say it has not been proportional. But I also understand the goals of Israel and the fact that they have to deal with a strip of land inside their territory, attached to their territory, at the coastline of their territory.
In here, no policy rioters, none of our big party preferences, because we want to do the right thing by the American people and allow more time for negotiation.
Thune didn't negotiate with me. Johnson didn't negotiate with Hakim.
I think we're headed to a shutdown because the Democrats won't do the right thing.
Cool.
Political theater at its finest.
Oh, no kidding. Absolutely. Literally in front of the cameras in the steps in, or the drive in front of the Congress. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, the very first time we did the government shutdown thing, what was it, like 2008 when this all started?
Yeah.
The very first one got me out of a drill weekend. So that was very nice. investigators in Fulton County, Georgia are on
the... So you're a fan of government shutdowns?
Well, I was at that particular
time.
The one time,
did you a solid. All right, fair enough.
Solid,
go on.
Yeah. Investigators in Fulton County, Georgia, Andrew, on the lookout for Fast and Furious actor Tyrese Gibson. Apparently, he's been ordered to surrender his dogs. An arrest warrant was issued yesterday. He apparently allowed his large dogs to roam free in his Buckhead neighborhood. So if you see Tyrese Gibson, tell him the law's looking for him.
I got you. All right. I sometimes bump into him at Seville, so it'll be good. David, thanks so much for the update. 729 News Radio 92.3. I was going to tell you something. I got distracted. I got people texting me. I got all kinds of crazy stuff going on. We got a winner for the tickets, John?
We sure did. Well, if you were going to ask me that, I wouldn't have crumpled up my piece of paper.
Secret winner. It's all right. It's all right. No, it's too late.
Randy. One. Congratulations, Randy.
The most anticlimactic announcement ever. 4-3. And the winner is Randy. okay, fair enough. Oh, you know, I mentioned this before. It does strike me as a weird one. So the McDonald's, I can't believe the news is all over the place today, but the McDonald's Monopoly game is coming back.
So
when you grew up, did you play the Monopoly?
Oh, yeah. You peeled it right off your cup or your fries.
No, and you kept that thing like it was the most holy thing you owned.
It was the holy grail.
By the end of the game, it was pretty raggedy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Monopoly board with all the pieces attached to it, the number of times it's been open and closed, and the number of times you look at it, and the crease is kind of falling apart like an old map. I mean, all of that. Well, they're bringing it back for the first time in 10 years. One change is it's primarily digital.
What?
You're going to do it in the app? There's fewer physical peel-off items.
No.
But that's the whole fun of it, is the physics of the physicality of it. Plus, can we be honest? The McDonald's app sucks. It's the worst. I go to McDonald's only every so often. Every time I go, I have to update or reinstall or log in again. It's insanely frustrating.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Midnight Eastern deadline to prevent a partial government shutdown. Oklahoma Senator James Lankford says the upper chamber will vote again on the proposal to keep the government open.
For some reason, the Democrats this time have decided, you know what, I don't want to keep it open at current year funding. I want $1 trillion more in spending to be able to just keep it open for a few weeks.
The Republican on Mornings with Murray on Fox Business. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer says the outcome is up to the president and GOP leaders. Authorities in Michigan trying to figure out why an Iraq war veteran shot up and then burned down a Mormon church on Sunday.
Officials are now saying that all of those victims have thankfully been accounted for. 4 people killed and at least 8 more injured, including 2 who are in critical condition right now.
That is Fox's Brooke Taylor reporting from Grand Blanc, Michigan. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is 68 degrees and sunshine on a beautiful Tuesday morning here in Pensacola. We've got your forecast with Brooke Richardson, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes. The University of West Florida is considering opening an elementary school on campus. If there's enough interest from parents, the university is looking at opening a K-3 school within the next year. Interim President Manny Diaz Jr. Announced plans for a tuition-free school that would serve the kids of UWF students and staff. The proposed lab school could serve up to 50 students and function as a training hub for their College of Education. While the initial focus would be on grades K through 3, there is also potential to expand it out to 6th grade and include more local students. The initiative would aim to address declining undergraduate enrollment in education while also providing convenient childcare for faculty and staff. Now, the school could open as soon as next spring. More fall would be a likely target, though. The city of Pensacola has now officially acquired the old Baptist Hospital campus on E and Moreno Streets. It's been a years-long process, began in early 2024. The property was donated to the city by Baptist. The plan is now to tear down the old hospital and use the land to benefit the community. Demolition will begin by the end of the year, should be completed by summer of 2027. A series of public engagement meetings are being planned to include residents in that process. Two kids that were abducted by a parent and driven to Santa Rosa County from Arkansas are now safe. Deputies were contacted by officials in Berry County, Arkansas, who said they believed a kidnapping suspect was hiding at a home in southern Santa Rosa County. Deputies responded and identified the male suspect and the two kids. They also found the man had burglarized the beach house they were staying in.
So it all worked out. We were able to get the children back and everything was fine. He was arrested. We charged him with burglary, criminal mischief, contributing to the delinquency of minor, and then he had out-of-state warrants for kidnapping and vehicle theft out of Berry County, Arkansas. So worked out real well. We were able to get the kids back, turn them over to DCF, and of course, reunited them with the other parent. So
Chief Deputy Randy Tifty says the suspect was also in a stolen vehicle and apparently planning to steal another vehicle to leave the county. Well, some workers getting a bit of a pay bump today as part of a voter-approved amendment to raise Florida's minimum wage to $15 an hour by next year. Economist Dr. Ken Johnson says on the plus side, this could increase productivity among lower-paid workers.
Which has a big impact in South Florida because it's such a service-oriented industry.
Now, on the downside, he also says it might spike prices and local inflation. Under the amendment, the Florida minimum wage went to $10 an hour in 2021, $11 in 2022, $12 in 2023, $13 last year, and $14 today. The federal minimum wage is $7.25 per hour. It is 7:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. If you are on West Government headed toward Barrancas, we've got both eastbound or westbound lanes closed down. Traffic is being diverted to Main Street, so just be advised of that. Also, I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, seeing about a 20-minute congestion construction delay. Also, Highway 29 southbound headed toward 9 Mile, you're going to see about a 10 to 12-minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 90 southbound heading to Pensacola, about a 12 to 15-minute congestion delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to have a mostly sunny day today with a high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Going into Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 86. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. For Thursday, 10% chance of a stray shower, high near 85. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 66. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 69 degrees sunshine this morning in Pensacola. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Republican and Democratic leaders have emerged from a high-stakes meeting at the White House after making no major progress and traded blame for a possible upcoming government shutdown. The current budget expires at midnight tonight. The information reports OpenAI has generated around $4.3 billion in revenue in the first half of 2025. That's about 16% more than it generated all last year, citing financial disclosures to shareholders. OpenAI said it also spent $2.5 billion, in large part due to research and development costs for developing artificial intelligence and for running ChatGPT. A federal judge in Washington has ordered the Trump administration to pause the layoffs of hundreds of employees from the agency that owns the U.S. news service Voice of America, adding that government officials had shown concerning disrespect for the court's directives. Futures are slightly lower. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 68, the Nasdaq up 107. That's Your Money Now.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 1330, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower. Competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us here in studio, we have Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
You looked all apprehensive, like I was going to...
You were going to say something
crazy. I wasn't. I
like
wasn't.
You always do.
I just mouth fumbled is all it was. you guys had a shooting, or you guys responded to a shooting at Forest Creek. Kind of a weird situation.
Well, you know, we're oftentimes going to weird situations where it's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Forest Creek apartments, we had a deputy who was working off duty up there. He hears gunshots. He goes to investigate, obviously.
Okay, so your deputy is working off duty, and he's actually on scene to hear
gunshots. Right, gunshot.
He is the human shot spotter.
Well, right.
Okay.
They hear it, and he does what he's supposed to do, runs towards the gunshots to investigate it. And as he does, several people are running around. Then he sees one person that looks like they're up to no good. He tries to chase that person. That person jumps a fence. He ends up chasing him. Ultimately, he finds out that individual had a gunshot wound to his chest. So, obviously, he was involved to some degree.
The guy running away from him had a gunshot wound to the chest, and he's running away from the deputy.
That's correct.
Wow. Okay. All right.
He is expected to survive, and obviously, we want to know what he has to say, but we have not yet had an opportunity to talk to him.
Because he's been treated or just haven't, whatever.
Just hasn't.
Okay.
Hasn't really decided to talk to us.
When was that?
This happened over the weekend.
Over the weekend. Okay. It seems like we've had, and I'll take it. You know, we don't have a lot of super quiet weeks in Escambia County, but it seems like a pretty quiet week, crime-wise. Take it.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. No, things are going.
The closest next thing was you guys were doing a joint drug enforcement action with the ATF, and you got a guy for, you know, possession with intent and unregistered short barrel shotgun, stuff like that, right? Which you guys work with them. You work with other agencies on these things all the time, right?
Yeah. You know, we're a part of a number of different task forces and really just collaborations. Depends on what the situation is. Sometimes we work with the Postal Service, sometimes we work with Customs, sometimes we work with ICE, sometimes we work with a number of people on specific cases. But also we have task forces, we have MOUs with certain agencies to further certain investigations, specifically DEA. We target fentanyl quite a bit. And so we're on a couple of different task forces with them. So what you're hearing, what you will hear, is specific cases where this individual is arrested or that individual is arrested. And that goes along with our priority with fentanyl and priority with weapons and drugs and the combination of that. So, and my thought is every time we arrest somebody, our community gets a little bit safer, you know, because we talk a lot about this connection, as I just mentioned, with guns and drugs. And so a lot of times when we're catching them with guns, the U.S. Attorney's Office is adopting these cases more than they ever have, more in my experience. And so we continue to work with them because we want these people off the streets.
Yeah. And you know, it's kind of funny. The people that I know at the U.S. Attorney's Office, they do not love recognition. I wish I could give them more, but they actually prefer not to get it. They just don't love their names being out there a lot, which I understand. You know, that's true, too. Speaking of the human ShotSpotter, ShotSpotter itself, the technology, have we found a funding source for this, or is it going to go away? When does that expire?
Well, it should expire any week now.
Oh,
obviously,
okay.
We're gonna start working towards whatever we do outside of that. The sky's not falling. ShotSpotter was a benefit. It was incorporated with our real-time crime center. But honestly, over 90% of the time, the ShotSpotter, there was not a shot fired in anger. There was not an individual that was there. I can point to
so
a couple
was, it
cases.
It was misfires, discharge, accidental discharges,
or
things like that.
Or intentional up in the air or shooting at a snake or whatever that they may be doing. Sometimes when we get there, people are gone. So there's no one injured.
I see.
So that's the vast majority of the indications that we get. And because we are concentrating on the camera systems that we have, on the license plate readers and those sort of things, that's become the focus of the real-time crime center. And throughout the country, a lot of people weren't necessarily fans of ShotSpotter for that. They claimed the accuracy wasn't there. That's not been our experience. The accuracy was pretty good with regards to ShotSpotter. It does give us an indication. But, again, I'm not the one that – I don't have $400,000 to just throw at this thing. I want people on the streets. I want to put my money where it, I think it'll do the
so
most
it's,
good.
So it may be sort of a blessing in disguise in a sense. It wasn't a great benefit. It would cost money, and the fact that the funding goes away, okay.
It's not something that we just harp on and we languish about.
Human intel combined with the cameras and the plate readers is going to do you as much good as the ShotSpotter ever
did. That's always been our focus. That's always been our goal, to continue to enhance this capability. In fact, something's going to the board on Thursday.
Oh, for the cameras, right, at Pensacola Beach?
Absolutely, yeah. We've had this phase one. Now we're going to have phase two. Phase one was cameras that about a year and a half ago or so. The cameras on the boardwalk, the wooden walkway mm-hmm. type areas as a boardwalk. And now we're doing phase two. So it's going to be 7 more fixed site cameras, which is each one has 4 cameras in it. That's going to be on the parking area of the boardwalk.
Okay.
And then we also, part of that is also 7 fixed cameras on the Casino Beach parking lot. So, it's really going to enhance the security, hopefully act as a deterrent to Pensacola Beach. And we're going to cover the main body of Pensacola Beach pretty well now with these cameras. Again, they're all the public areas. No one's looking into someone's backyard.
Yeah. You know, so you make me think of a really, probably a sort of a politically difficult question. So I'm going to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
of course. Of course I will. Several years ago, the beach converted to the amber lights, right? From the bright lights that they've had forever that are normal, to protect the turtles.
Right.
Okay. But the amber lights are not very bright. And if you're talking about dark areas, particularly in the parking lot at Casino Beach, I know when I walk around there, I mean, I don't ever feel particularly unsafe, but it occurs to me that, you know, dark areas, cars, people milling about, uncertainty, and the possibility of bad behavior all kind of go together. Do the dimmer lights, has there been any correlation with that and increased bad behavior in the vicinity that you know of? Is that a concern for you at all?
Well, I mean, again, I'm not the one that decides whether this light is going to save the turtle. I really haven't done a lot of research on turtle behavior.
I got you.
As I've said in the past, I'm a fan of lights, of cameras,
yeah,
and action. Right. I'm a fan of all those three things.
Lights, camera, and door kicking.
Yeah,
that's right.
We want to make sure that we're doing what we can to make sure the community is safe, and I think the cameras are going to do that. And lights obviously will do that, but I don't know that the amber lights were there on the boardwalk. I don't know how many turtles
choice,
are crossing
right
there between Casino Beach and the boardwalk.
Yeah,
I'm just not aware of that sort of thing.
Okay.
Now down the street, I know that there are there are those thoughts where the lot crossings and that take place. Certainly,
it hadn't occurred to me before. I was just curious if there was a assessment of any kind or a thought about that.
I figure
from a law enforcement perspective, you always want more lights as bright as possible. And, then obviously there's balancing concerns with nature in this particular vicinity. So I was just curious.
Yeah.
We're talking to Chip Simmons here in studio with me. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you're on I-10 westbound, it's backed up to the 9th Avenue overpass due to a lane closure on I-110 southbound flyover. So be aware of that. We've got an accident on Creighton Road and Davis Highway, not causing you any delays. And let's see here, I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, seeing those regular congestion construction delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, it's something that's come up the last couple of days. I know Scott Lunsford, the tax collector, had put a note out about this, and I talked with Chief Deputy Tift yesterday about this from Santa Rosa, but not everybody hears our portion of the show, so let's make sure that we cover a little bit. You and I have had many conversations about the changes in law related to open carry, and before that, to concealed carry and everything else, many times. We talk about guns a lot. One of the notes that Scott put out is, none of this changed the statute about having a gun near a school. 1,000 feet from a school is a gun-free zone, and that's true whether you had a concealed carry permit. That's true for open carry. Even in your car, which has its own kind of special rules, you're not supposed to have a gun available to you to use 1,000 feet from a school, right?
You're not supposed to have a gun on school property. That's correct.
So even if you're the one I always think of is the car rider line,
right?
People, you know, may not think about how in the car rider line you're on school property and you're not supposed to have a gun, even a concealed, even with a permit or an open carry. It's supposed to be not ready to use. It's supposed to be, you know, unloaded, if at all, in your trunk or whatever. Right? That's all correct?
You're not supposed to have a gun on school property.
I got you.
That's you know, sometimes we can overthink things.
Yeah,
and,
all right.
And as we mentioned
before. What do you mean?
Yeah, you're one of the worst. I think that... I mean, honestly, I think people start to come up with these scenarios. What if this? What if this? And all I can tell you is what the plain language of the statute refers to or speaks to.
Yeah.
And that is that you're not supposed to have a gun on school property. Now, a couple of years ago, there was a situation where kids were having their guns in their car and leaving them in the parking lot. But then they come to find out the school didn't have a specific restriction on it. Schools can have a restriction in the parking lot. And as I understand, they did that restriction here in Escambia County. So you're not supposed to have a gun in the car rider line or on the school property. Now, are we stopping cars, searching cars? We're not doing that. What I'm saying is be smart about what you do.
Well, the reason it had kind of occurred to me was I was thinking about taking my kid when he just got his driver's license, so I'm not anymore, but taking him to drop him off at UWF. And if I've got a gun open in my car at UWF, okay. Not if I get out to go on the passenger side to let him drive, maybe not okay. You know, like, it's those kinds of things that people don't think about when you're on a restricted or in a restricted area and you've gone from what you think is okay to not okay. And just, you know, trying to get people to pay attention. Like, you know, the car rider line, you know, if you get out of the car rider line and you've got an open weapon on your hip, I mean, you know, just...
That's problematic.
Yeah.
And that's part of the being a responsible gun owner. And certainly when with the open carry rules, basically, or freedoms that now exist in the state of Florida, I think that that's part of being responsible. We have to understand where you're going at every moment. Again, I cringe because of this site that you'll go to a grocery store, and because a grocery store doesn't allow you to open carry, you have to get out, take an holster, whatever weapons have, and place them in your car. And my fear is that someone would see what you're doing and see the thousands of dollars worth of weaponry that you take off and put in your car, and they're a broken window away from having all that stuff stolen.
Right.
So, again, pay attention to these scenarios. There are sheriffs throughout the state that are saying a bad guy can still take your gun. Again, use your head on and just common sense. If you're not, don't think you can, you know, retain a weapon from someone that might grab it from you, then perhaps you change. You do a concealed carry. You do something else. You carry a weapon that you might be able to, to keep for your own protection.
Several weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go do the driver training at your course over in Brunson Field, which was fantastic. Your deputies and your sergeant were, I mean, all fantastic. They were all great. They always are. And John got to ride along in the back with my son.
Yeah, get a little car sick.
with my son who just got his license. Hey. no, definitely. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in the back when I'm driving this. But it got me to thinking, because the reason this came about is because it occurred to me that like a pit maneuver is it's a difficult thing to do right. You know, it takes a little bit of skill or a lot of skill. And I asked you the question, do you train for it? You said yes. And that's how we got into this conversation. To me, though, it's a fascinating slice of the preparation that goes into being a cop, because it was everything I was learning to do was counterintuitive or contrary to what, you know, 40 years of driving, 38 years of driving have taught me. Do you find it that that's a problem to teach people how to shuffle steer, how to think about safety, how to use the brake or not use the brake, how to, I mean, all the things that go into this, is it a challenge to get them habituated to drive like a cop has to drive under the difficult circumstances?
Well, nothing beats experience. You know, you can train all you want to. And we talked about this a couple of years ago when we began doing more pits with the stolen cars and the felons, because we're not going to let a felon go. We're going to do what we can to stop them. And the conversation was, you know what, we haven't been chasing cars like we have been in past. When I started, you chase them for anything and everything until the wheels fell off. And so you learn what your car is capable of. You learn about roadways. You learn about what the smell of burning brakes and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure we caution them to understand your car and the limitations. Cars have never been better than they are today. They're faster. Their braking's better. You're just better at handling cars. And roadways are better, honestly, than they were 20, 30 years ago. But it still takes a certain level of experience to understand when and where and how. Now, we can train, and we do train. As you know, we train a lot about the optimum way to pit a car. But, you know, real life, nothing ever happens the way it
they don't just wait for you to do it. Yeah.
They don't spin and then surrender. Some do.
Yeah.
It depends on how well we spin them. But so we have to understand that as administrators that, yeah, we taught you to do this at 30 miles an hour or less. And just as they're turning to the left, you kick them right here in the rear quarter panel or whatever we decide that is the best training scenario.
Yeah.
But in real life, that's not what happens. You have to be able to adapt. You have to be flexible, and you have to use the experience and really you have to use your courage. Let's stop this person.
Yeah.
Right here, right now, even though I'm by myself. And that's what I say, we encourage it. We expect it from our deputies, and they do a fantastic job when you think about all those different scenarios that I just played out.
One of the observations I've had over the last, 10 years or so is I was stunned that my kids didn't care about driving. It's kind of funny because my oldest, who did not care about driving, is now a total car enthusiast, right? Yeah, he's super into
it's
it.
It's funny how that happens. Yeah, hey, right. His freedom is nice.
He's got his Miata. He's kitting it out. He's, anyway. But all of them have not really had an interest in it, and they were all late drivers. And so they don't have a lot of experience, even at their age. And I noticed that with their friends because life is online or life is parents driving them around. Do you notice a difference in the driving skill, the qualities that they bring, the experience that they bring to the sheriff's agency, that they're just not accomplished drivers yet, even though they're 21 by the time they get to you? They've only had maybe a year or two instead of 5 years of experience?
That's actually a good point. What you bring to the office itself, and that's why we like hiring veterans so much, because they've already gone through a boot camp, and they're already into a semi they're into military, and we're a paramilitary type organization. So that's one thing that we consider. We have to understand that there are people that haven't been driving as long. Mm-hmm. I know when you turn 15, you get a driver's
permit.
That's
right.
The day you turn 15, yes. The day you turn 16, you're going to the driver's license place and hope it's not a weekend. Right. That's exactly where we were at. And so you drive. By the time you've been driving a couple of years, by the time you're 18, you've been driving
you're
a couple
pro,
years,
yeah.
You know what's going on. But it's the same thing with GPS. There are people that we hire now that they rely so much on GPS. Even if they know where to go, they want to know exactly when they're going to get there. What is the shortest route? And I'll be honest, sometimes I do that.
Yeah.
I'm 30 minutes away. Let's see what the shortest route. See if I'm right with my shortest route.
Yeah.
And then when you get in a car, sometimes you don't have time for that. You got to get to an area. You have to know your beat. Oftentimes there is that.
The GPS helps you. Both of the kids, they don't know street names.
Right.
Like, they know how to get there on the phone. They don't know the area. They don't know the beat the way you would think. They have a map in their head. They just don't have it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's that intuition you get. If I take a left right here, GPS may not know it. But if I cut here, I'll avoid some traffic. I don't have to even go above the speed limit. I have to put my lights on. These are things that now we have to identify. And usually we do identify that in our own police academy, and then we continue to drive. That's why I love hiring them as cadets. They're 18, 19 years old, and they drive cars around. We can see them driving, and they can go to a couple years of pit training, and they can ride along with deputies and see, how the cars respond and the roadways. And the driving at night is vastly different than driving in the daytime.
Sometimes there may
be a new driver that doesn't understand the lights coming at you in a two-way roadway or amber lights compared to brighter lights. These are things that we all consider and routine driving scenarios, but imagine doing that when you're responding to a what we call a hot call or something,
right,
where, or an officer in trouble. You want to get there as quickly as you possibly can.
No, interesting. I mean, you got me thinking now about the GPS and this, you know, call goes out and you're like, wait a minute, let me put it in my phone. You don't have time for that, or, right, you know, in an actual situation. So I'm glad we talked about that a little bit. Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff, thanks as always for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. And tomorrow morning?
Oh, we'll bagel with bagels and bagelheads.
On Gregor Street.
Come what time?
7:30.
7:30.
Starting at 7:30.
I forgot. Thank you for reminding us.
Come and see us.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. No accidents to let you know about. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 10 to 12 minute construction congestion delay there. Also, let's see here. I-10 westbound approaching I-110. Still seeing some delays in that area. Also, Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, experiencing about a 7 to 9 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in Thursday at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
The Florida Bright Futures Scholarship isn't just about covering tuition. It can help you pursue your dreams at any Florida State University, community college, or eligible trade school. Whether you want to become a teacher, study engineering, learn a skilled trade, or start your own business, Bright Futures can help you achieve your goals. The best part? It's funded by the Florida Lottery, so when people play, students win. Visit floridabrightfutures.gov to learn more about your options, check your eligibility, and start your application. Your bright future starts here.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Lottery and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
If only you had been born a man, what a Caesar you would have made.
What'd you say? I know. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a quick headline for us. David? Or not.
Well, I'm here. Okay. Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry is asking for the National Guard to be deployed across the state. Landry says he sent a letter to Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, asking him to activate the Guard. He says crime rates are up across the state.
You're listening to...